Well, I really struggled with whether or not this passage was appropriate for a baptism service. It's the final two Beatitudes that both deal with persecution. And during the summer, as we have walked through this series of messages on the Beatitudes, each one of them has really, for some reason, something has happened that week that has really confirmed in my mind that we were doing the right thing for that Sunday. And so I was really struggling with whether or not Beatitudes on persecution fit in the context of a baptism service. And then some things have happened and some events have taken place in our world primarily. And I've thought, yeah, you know, there's nothing more appropriate really than to talk about the issue of persecution in relationship to baptism. Because baptism is the ultimate confession of faith. It's the statement, it's the external statement of an inward reality. It's the outward sign of an inward event, experience that has taken place. And as soon as we do that, then we are a sitting duck for persecution. So here it is. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Would you help us, Lord Jesus, to understand what you were talking about that day? And what it means for us who live in a post-Christian culture in the 21st century. And we'll thank you in your name. Amen. To help you a wee bit with the service and where the message and where I'm heading, I have put an outline of the message on the back of the order of worship. If you'd like to follow along, you are more than welcome if it is helpful. Since the time that Jesus Christ lived here on earth, one of the realities with which his followers have dealt is the reality of persecution. Whether it was the Roman lions in the early years of the church in the first century, the march of Islam in the Middle Ages, yes, there was a march of Islam in the Middle Ages, and it is taking place again in the 21st century, or Joseph Stalin and Mao Zedong in the 20th century, the church has been persecuted since the resurrection of our Lord. It starts in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. The International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church Committee reports that every day in more than 60 countries in our world, men, women, and children face discrimination, persecution, and even death for loving and living for Jesus Christ. In a sense, we should not be too surprised by this, because in the last two Beatitudes, Jesus pronounces a blessing upon those who would someday be persecuted because of him. And just 24 hours before his death on the cross, Jesus tells his disciples, "In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God." So the reality of persecution was foreseen by Jesus, and the hindsight of history tells us it has already happened and will continue to happen. But the question for me has always been in this particular matter, why? Why has the people of God, which is really the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, why have the people of God been faced with persecution by the culture in which we have lived since the first century? I'm offering two reasons this morning. The first is because by its very nature, the Church of Jesus Christ causes political instability. Now, that may not be true in Canada right now, but in many countries of the world, it is. The best example, historically, is the Roman Empire. By the time of Christ, Caesar was the object of worship of every nation conquered by Rome by decree. The only nation that was exempt from the worship of Caesar was the Jewish nation. Throughout the Roman Empire, new converts to Jesus Christ came face to face with the reality that they could not say Jesus is Lord and Caesar is Lord. It was one or the other. For those who said Jesus is Lord, persecution automatically followed. The Roman historian Tertullian wrote, "Public hatred asks but one thing, and that not investigating into the crimes charged, but simply the confession of the Christian name." Christians are a political threat because we declare that there is a higher power than Caesar. And that Caesar is Caesar only because, as Jesus tells Pilate at his trial, "You would have no power over me if it was not given to you from above." It is Jesus is Lord, not Caesar is Lord. In fact, there's a statement of that even in this very sanctuary. The Christian flag is on the left side. The flag of dominance is always on the left side. The Canadian flag is on the right. So even in this sanctuary, how these flags were placed many, many years ago is a statement of the fact that Jesus is Lord is finally and ultimately greater than Caesar is Lord. So the reality of persecution was foreseen by Jesus, and it's because of the fact that we cause political instability when we are at our best. When we're at our best. And that fits, dovetails perfectly with the second reason I would suggest this morning why the church has been persecuted. It's Christian ethics. And again, at our best, dear friends, we live differently. We don't murder or commit adultery. We pay our debts. We are good neighbors. We love everyone, and we accept responsibility for our own behavior. Imagine what the world would be like if all of those things were done by every single person. That's Christian ethics. That's why it's been called Christian ethics since the first century. Jesus says, if you're my follower, people will be able to tell by looking at the fruit of my life. He says it in Matthew 5, verse 20, "Thus by their fruit you will recognize them." Without saying a word, William Barclay writes, Christian ethic is a criticism and condemnation of pagan life and standards. A great illustration of that, again from history. One of the most famous of the early Athenian statesmen was Aristides, who was called Aristides the Just. Plutarch tells of the time when the people were voting on whether or not he was to be banished. Those who voted for his banishment had to write his name on an ostracon, a piece of pottery. Now, guess what? That's the root from which we get the word ostracize. A piece of pottery called an ostracon. An illiterate fellow who did not even know him by sight, approached Aristides himself, and being unable to write, asked him to write Aristides on the ostracon, and so enable him to record his vote for banishment. Aristides asked him if Aristides had ever done him an injury which made him vote for his banishment. "None at all," said the man. "I do not even know this man, but I am tired of hearing him everywhere called the just." When a person who names Jesus as Lord is authentically salt and light in the midst of an unsavory and dark world, somewhere, sometime, somehow, persecution will result. I believe that the Christian community in Canada is already beginning to see signs of an overt, not covert, overt persecution. I'm hearing of people who do not get job promotions, even though they have better qualifications than the person who gets the job. The only reason that we can come up with is that somebody didn't want a Christian involved in senior leadership in that organization. High school and university students ostracized because they defend the concept of creation in a science class. Employers, eased out of senior management positions because they will not bend the rules. This one happened this week. Someone in our congregation came to me and said, "Pastor, I'm thinking of selling a house." And the real estate agent came, said we had to stage the house. You know what that word means, of course, you got to stage the house. We have an open Bible on a little table in our home. The real estate agent asked me to remove it. That's Peterborough, folks. That's someone in the commercial corporate sector in our city. And the person decided pretty quickly, actually, that they were not going to remove the Bible from where it was. My hunch is that if I was to stop right now and ask if there was something that has taken place in your life in recent days, recent weeks, that seems like persecution, that many of you could in fact say, yes, something, there's a shift taking place. Fact is that followers of Jesus Christ have been persecuted for 21 centuries because when we are at our best, we cause political instability for evil leaders and we live a Christ-like ethic which brings reproach to the society in which we live. Now, when we're not at our best, then there's no issues. We just blend in. Now, I need to deal with something right off the bat here in my next section of this message. And very quickly, I want to do this because I don't want to push this point, but I need to say it. Some things which we think are persecution may, in fact, not be persecution at all because of the fact that we live in a persecution-prone world where many people believe that someone's out to get them. Protect your flanks, cover your bases, because if you don't, you're going to be the loser. So how do we differentiate between what Jesus calls blessed or authentic persecution and the societal tendency to believe that someone's out to get me, being persecution prone, to use the term that's often used? I think the answer to the question is right in the Beatitude itself. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. The two Beatitudes are in parallel form. And righteousness and because of me are meant to interpret each other. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of me. Here's how I think we differentiate between persecution-prone and being persecuted. If the persecution you are experiencing is because of your faith commitment, your daily walk, your personal relationship with Jesus, it is authentic persecution and thus will be blessed by the Lord. Blessed persecution results from tackling the big issues of life, taking a stand that confronts evil ideas and evil people in our world because of Jesus. Persecution does come to those who follow Jesus, but let's be sure that we ask the Holy Spirit to help us distinguish between authentic blessed persecution and the contemporary tendency to be persecution prone. So why persecution? Because it causes political instability, and because when we're at our best, we live differently than the world. Blessed persecution versus being persecution prone. It's persecution because of me, because of righteousness, because of me, those two sentences being in parallel form. So final point, what's the reward for those who are persecuted? When we are in the throes of persecution, our tendency is to run. That's what our tendency is. As you know, I've gone through and I've selected the, I'm not going to call them greatest hits, but I've got 17 messages coming between now and the end of January, key biblical passages that I think are at the very heart of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And one that I've selected, so I'll just give you a tidbit this morning, is the 11th Psalm. I love the 11th Psalm. I love all the Psalms, but I love the 11th Psalm because it is so modern. David is told by his friends when he is in a very difficult place, flee like a bird to the mountains. For look, the wicked bend the bow, they set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright at heart. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, you know what the answer is? They just go on being righteous. They just go on being righteous. They go on being righteous. And Jesus says, if we go on doing what we're supposed to do in an evil and corrupt world, we will be blessed by him. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Dr. Donald Carson, professor at Trinity in Chicago, writes these words: far from being a depressing prospect, their suffering under persecution, which has been prompted by their righteousness, becomes a triumphant sign that the kingdom is theirs. In just a few moments, three people will come to be baptized. I can't tell you this morning that you won't be persecuted because of righteousness in the days which are to come. But I can tell you, and I can tell all of us as a congregation this morning, that if we are persecuted because of righteousness, it is blessed persecution. And it is something that the Lord Jesus Christ himself will honor. Let's pray. Someone here this morning, Lord, has just been through this kind of an experience, maybe in the workplace. Maybe there's a student, a university student, that knows they have to face a particular course in the fall, and they're leery because they know that their faith will be suspect from the first lecture. We pray that you would help each of us to know today, Jesus, that it is in those moments that you are with us, and that we can trust you, because you have promised that if we are persecuted in authentic ways, not being persecution prone, but in authentic ways, then you will bless our lives. We rest in that, in Jesus' name. Amen.